Story number 5, It's Not My Fault. This is, without a doubt, the most important story for you to overcome, and it will likely also be the most challenging. Here's the problem. When faced with an accusation, and I mean any accusation, our first reaction is to dodge responsibility and try to push the blame elsewhere. Think I'm wrong? Consider this. When the boss or a client or even a friend comes at you hard, saying you screwed up, you will respond in one of two ways. The first way is to get all pouty and offer a lot of sorries. You may think this is a way of accepting responsibility, but really, it is not. More on that in a moment. The second way is to get defensive and spout reasons why the screw-up was out of your control or someone else's fault. Okay, so let's break this down. When you give someone a big, I'm sorry, it usually includes a hangdog expression with the sad eyes and the droopy head. What you are non-verbally transmitting to the other person is, look how much pain I'm already in. Don't put any more pressure on me. It's a form of subtle coercion that gets them to back off of holding you accountable. The other response is where you get defensive. Like a lawyer arguing for your innocence, you give a long string of reasons why the error was not your fault. You may think you're simply explaining the truth, but more than likely, you're just making yourself a complete pain in the ass, working to exhaust the other person into backing off. So why do we do this? Are we all just incredible jerks? No, not at all. The fact is, we do this because it is what we have been trained to do. From a very early age, it became clear to you that accepting responsibility for your mistakes meant being punished. So instead of being rewarded for your honesty, you were ridiculed, shamed, and embarrassed for your mistakes. The authority figures of your life missed the chance to teach you that every failure has, within it, wonderful life lessons and terrific learning opportunities. Instead, your little brain became singularly focused on avoiding the punishments leveled at you when you made a mistake. Rather than learning something, you just worked out how not to get caught when you screwed up. In short, you became a master of deception. Flash forward to today, and unfortunately, we're still largely doing the same thing. When faced with an accusation, we sideline any potential learning opportunities and put all our efforts into being defensive and resistant to looking at our flaws. This fear of making mistakes has spawned a victim mentality in our culture that is so pervasive, it shows up everywhere. No one wants to admit their flaws, from people suing McDonald's for spilling coffee on themselves to individuals online demanding they not be shamed. We seem to have gotten ourselves into a position where admitting to the fact that we occasionally fall short in life is tantamount to torture. So it is perfectly understandable why you resist accepting full responsibility for not achieving all you want in the world. It has become way too acceptable to believe that some immovable thing is standing in your way. Maybe it's your boss who won't give you a promotion. Maybe it's your parents who didn't encourage you enough. Maybe it's your partner who doesn't believe in you. Maybe it's the shitty economy. Maybe you're too old or too young. Maybe you didn't get the right education. Maybe you don't have the right credentials. Maybe you don't know the right people. Maybe you don't have enough experience. Maybe you don't have enough money. Maybe there is a sinister force in the universe focused on stopping you from achieving the success you deserve, but whatever it is, it isn't your fault, right? When it comes to fault and success, I can tell you this. Having studied high achievers all my professional life, I have discovered one aspect of their personality that is prevalent to them all. From Dr. King to Elon Musk to Mother Teresa to Steve Jobs and many more, every one of them took ownership of every screw-up, mistake, and mishap that ever happened in their organization. They never sought to blame mistakes on anyone else because they understood the value of those mistakes. They became better leaders and better people in the world because they insisted on squeezing every ounce of knowledge out of every error before attempting to move forward again. Taking ownership is not an easy practice to master. Not taking responsibility is somewhat endemic in our society, our culture, and even in our language. Consider this. When you're trying on pants in a clothing store but cannot get them to button, you probably say that the pants are too tight, right? But that's not true at all. The pants are fine. They will fit someone else perfectly. The problem is that you're too big. It's a hard thing to admit. It's much easier to sidestep your responsibility and blame the pants for not fitting. It's the same when we say the car ran out of gas, rather than saying I ran the car out of gas, or I got a ticket, instead of I was speeding and got caught. Most of us prefer to do the intellectual gymnastics of weaseling out of the responsibility for the problems we create in our lives. It's a hard thing to accept our own shortcomings and personal limitations. Yet, that is exactly where all the gold is. Studying our flaws is where we can learn and progress the most. It's the key to our personal freedom. Most importantly, it is the path to living our lives unlimited. If you have the courage to walk that path, to accept excellence over blame shifting, I offer you this simple way to proceed. First, you must choose to adopt the belief that everything that happens in your life is your creation. Yes, creation, not fault. In fact, you would be doing yourself a favor to delete the word fault from your vocabulary. It is an accusation that brings to mind finger-pointing, shame, and timeouts. Fault emphasizes the error alone rather than what can be learned from the error. Creation, on the other hand, has a softer tone. It suggests you participated in creating an outcome you didn't want, even though that outcome was not your intention. Let me give you an example. You are on your way to a meeting with a potential client. You're feeling a little anxious about it because you don't feel completely prepared. At an intersection, an SUV runs a red light and slams into your car. No one is hurt, but your car is not drivable. You call your potential client and let them know what happened, and they agree to reschedule the meeting for the next day. How do you describe this incident? You might say something like, I was driving through an intersection and this jerk in a frickin' SUV runs a red and slams into me. It makes sense, right? After all, that's what happened. It was the other guy's fault. While that might seem true, looking at the accident in this way does a terrible disservice to you. It casts you in the role of the victim and the person in the SUV as your perpetrator. Moreover, it suggests you live in a world where you are powerless to influence the outcome of certain events in your life. Successful people, genuinely successful people, do not live in that world. By choosing to believe they influence every situation in their lives, especially ones that seem random and chaotic, they stay focused on learning the lessons that can provide solutions to prevent similar problems in the future. By choosing to believe there was nothing you could have done to prevent the accident, you surrender your ability to be influential. All this may sound crazy, but that's only because our victim mentality has become deeply ingrained in our culture. The insurance companies, the police, your friends, and witnesses would all agree that the accident was 100% out of the realm of your control. After all, you had the green light and someone else ran into your car. How can this possibly be your fault? While I agree that this accident is not your fault, because we no longer use the word fault, this accident is still within the realm of your creation. The reason it is your creation is simply because you were there. By accepting the idea that you bring about everything that happens in your life, you immediately gain a level of control over every outcome you experience. In other words, if you did indeed create this accident, then you have the power not to create other accidents in the future. Further, Since the accident is your creation, there was a reason you brought it into your life. People tend to have a difficult time accepting this concept of creation. It is the idea that, in some small way, you wanted the accident to happen. Really? Wanted it to happen? Yes. When it comes to looking at things as your creation, you start by working backward. You look at the outcome first, and then consider why you chose to create that result. In this instance, the result was that you missed your meeting. So you ask yourself, why did I not want to attend my meeting? Now the answer starts to become relatively clear. You recognize that you were feeling nervous about the meeting. You felt unprepared and wanted just one more day to work on it. Therefore, you created this accident to get exactly what you wanted. That all sounds a little crazy. I mean, seriously, did your thoughts really create this accident? Well, consider this. Maybe, out of the far, far corner of your eye, you saw that oncoming SUV, and maybe, in the far, far recesses of your mind, your desire to have just one more day to prepare for the meeting saw a solution. So beneath the level of your awareness, you allowed that car to hit you to fulfill that hidden want. Now rewind the entire episode. As you start out on your way to the meeting, you feel unprepared and wish you had another day to get ready for it. Yet knowing that you create everything in your world, you say aloud, I want to get to my meeting safely and on time. Then, as you're about to cross that intersection, your eye picks up the SUV. Something tells you to slam on the brakes, and the SUV goes whizzing by. You chalk it up to luck, but in fact, you are simply reacting to your conscious intention. It's not all just magical laws of attraction. It's simple science. Either way, which perspective do you find more empowering? The one where you are a complete victim and terrible events happen randomly in your life, or the perspective where you have the power to bring about all the success you desire? You have nothing to lose by choosing an approach to life that puts you at the controls of your future. Accepting your world as your creation makes you the master of your destiny. It removes all the blocks and barriers to you having everything you want. All successful people in the world use this mindset. It can be your mindset as well. All you need is the courage to accept full responsibility for everything that happens. In this mindset, difficult events stop happening to you and start happening for you. Suddenly, all of your triumphs and all of your failures instantly become valuable learning experiences. Like rocket fuel, each event, good or bad, propels you forward into the life you wish to create for yourself. In 2015, I had a unique opportunity to put this way of thinking to the test in my own life. I was growing my marketing company, the Big Time Group. I had chosen to make a considerable investment in my business, pouring all of my savings into taking my biz to the next level. I began by hiring several employees and set about to create a world-class marketing firm. One of my hires was Alan, whom I brought on board as my social media expert. Yet, he turned out to not be a social media expert at all. He was, instead, a pathological liar. I did not discover this until after I had closed a bevy of new clients who gave us big retainers based on what Alan promised he could deliver for them. By the time it became clear Alan could deliver on none of these things, it was too late. I had to refund the retainers. I lost my clients. I lost my confidence. In a month, I had lost well over $100,000 and was out of business. About a week later, I was in Washington, D.C. on a family vacation. What followed, I can only describe as an emotional breakdown. I took a break from the tour to spend a day in my hotel room to plan my next move. As I sat at the crappy little desk, the room started spinning. The next thing I remember was falling to the floor in a heap of wailing tears. I had thusly reached my bottom. Eventually, I sat myself up, took a deep breath, and said aloud, "Okay, why did I decide to crash my marketing company?" It took not even a few moments for the answer to come to me. When it did, I was completely surprised by it. "I hate marketing," I said, and it was true. I did hate marketing. I was only good at it. I never loved it or even liked it. I had locked myself into a career I did not enjoy because I was afraid I could not make a living at what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to be in the business doing what I loved and had been consistently successful at for 20 years, transforming people's lives and setting them free of self-imposed limitations. I recognized that I had not yet tried to make a living at it because I had been terrified I didn't have the credentials. So I backburnered that dream and started a marketing company just to prove I could be successful. The big time group became something of a prison cell for me, and I wanted out. That is why I created Alan in my life. I didn't have the courage to shut down my business, so I brought in a crazy guy to crash my company and set me free. It was time to start doing what I loved. Later that very day, two significant things happened. One, at the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, looking at the model of the Starship Enterprise, I was inspired to name my new company, Dan Gordon Enterprise, because of Star Trek's Boldly Go mission. The second important thing was that a woman I had dated briefly years before happened to reach out to me. Our reconnection became a rekindled relationship, and of this writing, she is now my fiancé. Likely, by the time you're reading this, she has become my wife. There is one more amusing postscript to this story as well. In recognizing that I had the power to create the end of my business, I decided to see if I could use that same power to launch my speaking career. Further, to truly test that power, I also decided that I would accept a fee of no less than $10,000 for my first ever speaking gig. Sound crazy? Well, less than 8 months later, I was in Dallas, Texas, in front of 1,500 people being paid that exact sum for a one-hour presentation. I received a first ever standing ovation from that organization for a speaker. Not too shabby for a failed marketer, huh? I shudder to imagine where I would be today if I had chosen to live in the story that the collapse of my business was not my fault, but instead, something that had been done to me by Alan, the pathological liar. This entire great adventure only cost me about a year of my life and $100,000. I'd call that a bargain, the best I ever had. By accepting the truth that you indeed create everything, and I mean everything that happens in your life, you set yourself up to become the master of your destiny. You gain indispensable knowledge through the learning experiences you use to call failures. You see everyone and everything as conspiring to move you to greater heights. Best of all, when a boss, client, or even a friend comes at you hard saying you screwed up, you turn to them with rapt excitement and say, "Yes! Tell me exactly what I did. I want to make sure I learn everything possible from what I created." Click the Continue Assignments button in the email you received for your practices. Then click the Next button in your browser. I strongly urge you to do it now.